Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu. It's Friday, October 28th. I'm Anthony Isaiah. Britt Kaiser is out for the rest of the week. On today's newscast, we have Jonathan Graydon with coverage of the Research Expo, Caitlin Krassel with some insight on the Haunted Harvest Barn and Trail, Michelle Gregg covering the UI Bookstore Starbucks opening, and Elizabeth Rudd with more coverage of the Ernesto A. Bustamante file release. For RAR, we have Chloe Rambo and Melissa Flores debating which is the best horror movie of all time. Finally, for sports, Kevin Bangeman will be covering the UI Vandal Volleyball Senior Night, and I'll be covering a football preview of this weekend's game, Hawaii versus UI Vandals in the Kibby Dome. And now, here's Jonathan with his coverage of the Research Expo.
Covering such topics as drug-resistant bacteria and environmental science of streams, Science Department students will showcase real-world and laboratory projects in the 7th Annual Research Expo, 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. today in the TLC West Wing, followed by an award ceremony at 5 p.m. Students present their information on 3x4 posters and answer questions about their research. Of the 45 students presenting displays, 17 are undergraduates ranging from sophomores to seniors. "The event has been getting larger each year," said Coordinator Mark Nielsen, Associate Dean of Mathematics. He also said it's great that people in their second year are doing actual research among faculty members. A $100 first prize and $200 second prize are given in the graduate and undergraduate categories. A separate prize of $100 and an honorary Sigma Xi Scientific Research Society membership is chosen from the whole group. Everyone involved receives a free t-shirt which reads Science at Idaho. Nielsen said hot topics for research include biology, microbiology, environmental science, and a hybrid field of scientific study called bioinformatics, which combines biology, mathematics, computer science, and statistics. It encompasses the generally separate fields of observational research and analytics. One participant engaged in this program is first-year PhD student Roxana Hickey. She is studying human vaginal microbiology and its health implications. She is trying to see if the bacteria there help or hinder diseases and infections. Hickey said she is looking to get feedback on where to take her project. This is Hickey's second year participating in the Research Expo. For future presenters, she said it is helpful to explain your research as if you were explaining it to your 80-year-old grandmother. Another important field of study is chemistry, where senior undergrad Nick Weirs, with the help of advisor Jacob McGullen, has been experimenting for the past 4 months with clay catalysts, which can be used by pharmaceutical companies to make certain medicines in an environmentally friendly, less expensive manner. Weirs said these materials are not affected by the chemical reactions, so they can be recycled. Not all students, however, are showcasing research accomplished in the lab. Others, such as environmental science master Stephen Gillis, are investigating scientific phenomena and trends in the field. Gillis is studying the sensitivity of stream temperatures to fluctuations in air temperature and the snowpack volume. His research area is Kelly Creek, located near the Idaho-Montana border due east of Moscow. He is using regionalized air temperature and snowpack data from 1999 to 2008 to help make climate change projections in this geographical location. On a large scale, this index data fills a much-needed hole in contemporary Northwest climate change research. Most data focuses on large areas such as the Columbia Basin. Gillis said that he has made an observational record of small region and climate patterns which can be used by other scientists. Senior biology student Chris Renfrew, who is examining why certain bacteria develop drug-resistant traits and the bacterial evolution process behind the drug resistance, said research is fun and that more students should try it. For KUOI News, this is Jonathan Graydon.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now here's Caitlin with a preview of the Haunted Harvest Barn and Trail.
In its fifth year, the Harvest Haunted Barn and Trail has become an annual stop for those looking for a Halloween scare. The 79-year-old barn is owned by Moscow locals Drex and Joanne Rhodes. The Rhodes and their family began converting the barn to a haunted house in 2007 as a fundraiser for their children's soccer team. Since then, the event has grown and the Rhodes have donated thousands of dollars to local charities. Most notable of the organizations the Rhodes have donated to is the American Cancer Foundation through the UI Latah County Relay for Life. Debbie Jacobs, publicity chair for the UI Latah County Relay for Life, said the money has been utilized to help make the relay a success. The Rhodes and their family all share a passion for Halloween, which led them to the idea for the haunted barn. They began haunting the barn in 2007 and in 2010 welcomed nearly 800 visitors. Drex Rhodes said they change up the barn every year so returners don't know what to expect. Changes such as reversing flow in and out of the barn, changing up rooms, and adding new props and zines are just a few of the adjustments made to the barn and trail to keep returning visitors in the dark. Rhodes said his favorite part about the haunted barn is when people verify wetting themselves and guys screaming like girls. Inspiration can be seen throughout the barn and trail from a number of classic horror films, including Jeepers Creepers, Stephen King's It, Silent Hill, Halloween, and the Saw movie series. Rhodes said that if he meets his goal of 1,000 visitors this year, then he plans not only to keep it open next year, but also to expand. Last week, the barn saw about 230 visitors, which according to the Rhodes was a slow weekend. However, they are expecting the coming weekend to be a busy one. This weekend, the barn will be open 7 to 11 p.m., Friday and Saturday night, as well as 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday, Halloween night. ZFun 106.1 and local favorite New York Johnny will also be at the barn this weekend. To get to the barn, follow the south extension of Mountain View Road in Moscow. The barn is located at 2800 South Mountain View Road. For KUOI News, I'm Caitlin Krasselt.
Thanks, Caitlin. Now here's Michelle Gregg to talk about the new Starbucks location located in the UI bookstore.
Committed Starbucks fans and coffee drinkers alike have a reason to smile as the days get colder, because the Vandal Store Starbucks is now open for business. The grand opening was at 1:30 p.m. Thursday at the bookstore and formally introduced the popular brand to the University of Idaho's campus. The soft opening was last Monday, which meant the store was open but had not done any formal advertising, said John Bales, director of the Vandal Store. Bales said their job as a bookstore is to provide services that support the students and enhance their overall education experience. So they added a product like Starbucks, which can improve what they already provide, like books, technology, and Vandal gear. The layout of Starbucks emphasizes the community atmosphere that the company prides itself on and provides a good place for students to study. Bale said there's a laptop bar with several plugins, comfortable chairs to sit in, and plenty of space to study. And by placing a Starbucks inside the Vandal store, it should add to the on-campus experience. Tyrone Brooks, Associate Vice President of Auxiliary Services, which oversees the Vandal store, said most college bookstores he has seen have coffee shops inside, so putting in a Starbucks was a good addition. During signature weekends, such as Homecoming, Vandal Friday, and Moms and Dads weekends, Brooks said having a Starbucks inside the bookstore has potential to draw the attention of future Vandal fans so they can experience a little bit of the university. The recent bookstore renovations combined with the Starbucks completes the feel of the Vandal store, Brooks said. Parking and Transportation Services also added 8 new Starbucks-accessible parking spots on Narrow Street, located on the south side of the Vandal store. Rebecca Couch, Parking and Transportation Services Information Specialist, said they knew there was limited parking options at the bookstore, so they made an agreement with the city that allowed them to create 8 30-minute parking spots. Couch said Parking and Transportation supports the Vandal store and auxiliary services, and it was in their best interest to provide the customers with better parking. This is Michelle Gregg from KUOI.
Thanks, Michelle. And now here's Elizabeth Rudd with an update on the release of the Ernesto A. Bustamante files.
Former University of Idaho Assistant Professor Ernesto A. Bustamante reportedly talked about shooting students in class, according to an anonymous student evaluation contained in the public records released by UI officials Thursday. An evaluation from Bustamante's Fall 2010 Psychology 218 class said, quote, "He talked about shooting students, which was disturbing, and implied that he was, and we should be, drunk and high every other day." Another from the same class said, quote, "Bustamante is very unprofessional and tends to flirt with his students." According to the records, Bustamante also admitted to having a sexual relationship with UI graduate student Katie Benoit and other students. An employment timeline also showed that Bustamante told Psychology Department Chair Ken Locke he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and treated it with medication during his first semester of employment in fall 2007. The release of information was the result of District Court Judge John Stegner's October 3rd ruling that UI release all personnel files for Bustamante following their request for legal clarification on the right to privacy for former deceased employees. Bustamante shot and killed Katie Benoit outside her home August 22nd and was later found dead at a Moscow hotel from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. In the weeks following the deaths, UI released a timeline outlining Benoit's contact and complaints with the university pertaining to Bustamante. Benoit first contacted UI June 10th to discuss her problems with Bustamante and was told to contact Moscow Police Department, Alternatives to Violence of the Police, and to file an official written complaint. Her official complaint was submitted to Director of Human Rights, Access and Inclusion, Carmen Suarez, June 12th, and to Bustamante, July 6th. Benoit's complaint against Bustamante included allegations that she had witnessed Bustamante engaging in sexual relationships with another student and heard rumors about others. Benoit also said in her complaint that she had seen at least five of Bustamante's guns. Quote, "He carries them everywhere, including to campus, on every occasion. He answers his door with them, travels with them, sleeps near them, everywhere." Suarez informed Bustamante he was not allowed to contact Benoit and asked him to meet in person for HRAI when she sent him Benoit's complaint. Bustamante responded to Suarez July 11th, denying the allegations made by Benoit, but set up an in-person interview with Suarez and co-investigator Gary Williams for July 19th. According to notes from the interview, Bustamante admitted to having sexual and romantic relationships with several students and a young faculty member. In the interview, Bustamante denied that he had had a conversation with Catherine Aiken and Richard Reardon, Dean and Associate Dean of the College of Letters, Arts, and Social Sciences, respectively, in December 2010, where he was informed UI has no tolerance for sexual harassment or retaliation, and if he was involved with a student, it must stop immediately. The conversation followed an anonymous call made to UI's Ethics and Compliance Hotline, during which the caller said Bustamante was having sexual relationships with students and, quote, "an abusive and coercive relationship with one student," end quote. A note in the timeline confirmed that Benoit was not the caller. During the July interview, Bustamante asked what would happen if he resigned. Suarez said the process of Benoit's complaint would end because of the lack of a respondent. The same day, Bustamante emailed Locke with his intention to resign. Bustamante submitted his official resignation and separation agreement August 5th, and his employment with UI officially concluded August 19th. For KUI News, I'm Elizabeth Rudd.
Deep inside me, a demon's inside me, vision burst. The horrors that I see, the hell that surrounds me, and it burns. No matter how I try, I hide, there's no disguise. Pursuing, it breeds its life in me. Deep inside me, a demon's inside me. Vision burns.
And that was The Misfits with Vivid Red. Now here's Chloe Rambo with her view of what is the best horror movie of all time.
Grindhouse Genius. A pole dancer with a combination M4 carbine, M203 grenade launcher for a leg, a bad boy destined to be a hero, and the fate of humanity against a raging population of chemically fueled flesh eaters. Seriously, what could be better than that? Planet Terror, directed by the famed one-man film crew Robert Rodriguez, follows go-go girl Cherry Darling and her ragtag team's battle against the bloodthirsty, zombie-like creatures called Sickos. Based on the grindhouse style of classic celluloid film, complete with cigarette burns and missing reels, Planet Terror takes the zombie theme into a new realm. After a breakthrough biological nerve gas is accidentally released, militants and civilians based in Texas turn into mutating sickos and quickly begin to ravage the countryside for something to snack on. I'll be honest, there have been some truly cruddy zombie movies made within the past 50 years. Poor makeup and destitute plots have often put a damper on the reputation of zombie flicks. Usually, the only aspect to save a failing film are the numerous bloody gobs of gore tossed throughout the movie. But Planet Terror, on the other hand, uses stellar effects, quick-witted dialogue, and old-school grindhouse appeal to fuel this action-packed thriller. Is this a psychological film made to put you on the edge of your seat? Well, no, it's not. You've got a pole dancer who walks along on a high-powered weapon like it's no big deal. Rather than feasibility and correct scientific realities, this movie is clearly going for the shock appeal and pure entertainment of the audience. Planet Terror is a perfect combination of gore, and horror, and it manages to throw in some romance, despite the growing population of zombies. The actors and actresses in Planet Terror deliver exactly what you're looking for. Rose McGowan, Bruce Willis, and even Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas all show a consistent performance, no matter where the fake blood is flying. And with this diverse of a cast, you'll soon understand how this film goes much deeper into the zombie dynamic than some run-of-the-mill Halloween movie. How Cherry Darling operates her M4 using only her stump, I'll never know. But it doesn't matter when it becomes a matter of life and death, virus-free survivor, or pillaging sicko. This film is the perfect break from scary movies that are all too serious. Go watch Planet Terror right now. You will never be the same. For KUOI News, I'm Chloe Rambo.
Thanks, Chloe. And now here's Melissa Flores with her view of the horror film It.
An interdimensional demon, a sink full of blood, an insane clown, and a blood oath between seven children to kill a monster that plagues their town. Stephen King's It is easily one of the best thrillers of all time because it, no pun intended, incorporates some of the best elements that the science fiction and horror film genres have to offer. The plot has two parts. The first portion takes place in the 1960s and follows seven children, a group of outcasts referred to as the Seven or the Losers Club, who encounter It, a demon-like creature that kills children in the fictional town of Derry, an attempt to kill the monster to avenge the people that it has killed. The monster most frequently appears in the movie as Pennywise, a sadistic, demented clown that preys primarily on children, but it also appears to each of the children it hunts as the thing they fear most. The children manage to survive their individual encounters with Pennywise and descend into the sewers to kill the monster. Unsure if they've actually succeeded, the children swear a blood oath to return to Derry if it ever comes back. The second half of the movie takes place 30 years later, when the monster returns and once again slaughters the children of Derry. As adults, the seven children return to face the beast and kill it once and for all. However, their progress is often obstructed by Pennywise and memories of facing it as children. The movie employs suspense, drama, and gore to create a thriller unequaled to other horror movies and showcases the unique plot style of Stephen King. It takes the viewer on a journey through the darkness of a small town plagued with secrets and demonstrates the destructive power of traumatic childhood memories. The main characters are constantly at odds not only with the supernatural being, but also with their minds as the creature forces them to hallucinate, placing each of the children in a barrage of waking nightmares and forcing them to live their worst fears. King's intricate plot structure captivates the audience, suspense keeps viewers on the edge of their seats, and the variety of forms the monster takes ensures that every audience member will be scared and disgusted by it. From start to finish, the fear, tension, and gore the children face make this movie one of the best horror movies of all time.
A fortress in the sky, with love the life it holds, we live on borrowed time. A glowing moonlit pier, their armies still advance. From the murky depths they rise. From their rotting bones, their souls they scream. For the flesh they need tonight. Die! Zombies war, land of the dead. Tonight. Land of the dead.
And that was The Misfits with Land of the Dead. Now here's Kevin Bingaman with a UI Vandal Volleyball Senior Night preview.
The end of the volleyball team's season is quickly drawing to a close, and this Saturday the team will honor its three seniors in the last home match of the season. Libero Cassie Hamilton and hitters Elisa Milo and Riley Walker are the three seniors on this year's squad and will play for the last time in Memorial Gym on Saturday when they take on New Mexico State. The Aggies are holding the second position in the WAC right now and will be another tough test for Idaho. The Vandals lost to New Mexico State in four sets earlier this year, and the Aggies will be looking to spoil senior night for Idaho. Senior Riley Walker has been with Idaho for the past two seasons after transferring from Tacoma Community College. Walker attended Stevenson High School in Stevenson, Washington, where she participated in track and volleyball. Walker started off her senior season on fire, including career highs with 14 kills in a season opener against Butler. Walker has not seen a lot of action since the beginning of the year due to a back injury, but said she's looking forward to getting out in front of the home crowd one last time. Walker is majoring in general studies with a minor in health. Senior Cassie Hamilton has played a big role for the Vandals the past 4 years and is now second place on the all-time digs list at Idaho. She's from California and attended Vista Moretta High School, where she helped her team win three consecutive league championships. Hamilton has been a starter at Libero the past two seasons for Idaho, and it looks like she'll be close to all-time digs record at the end of the season. Hamilton said this game has been marked on her calendar since the beginning of the season. Hamilton is majoring in physical education and wants to be a college volleyball coach in the future. Senior Elisa Milo has been a part of the program for 5 years, having redshirted in 2007. She's from Portland, Oregon, where she attended Jesuit High School. In her high school career, she helped her team win a state championship. Milo has been a huge part of the Vandal attack the past two seasons, totaling the second most kills on the squad. Milo is majoring in psychology. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Thanks, Kevin. And now here's a preview of this weekend's football game. It's going to be just another roller coaster ride for the Jekyll and Hyde team of the Western Athletic Conference this weekend in the Tiny Dome Stadium of the Potato State. The Hawaii Warriors are the team that can't be taken for granted on the mainland United States. A trip to the state of Idaho brings no guarantees. The Islanders will have to find the tunnel vision and focus that have eluded them throughout the season whenever they've hopped on the Big Bird to leave their oceanic home. The Idaho Vandals enter this Sunday's matchup with Hawaii at 1-6, a poor defense, 89th in the country, and a worst offense, 114th in the country. As dynamic as Hawaii has been, it should be a win for the Warriors, right? Not so fast. While Hawaii is 3-0 at home, it is just 1-3 on the road, including a big loss to a really bad UNLV team and a turnover-filled loss to San Jose State. Nothing is a guarantee when Hawaii is on the road. This season should make that notion abundantly clear and enduringly relevant. The Vandals host the game at the Kibbe Dome after a bye week and are looking for their first win against an FBS opponent. Idaho's defense is below average but not terrible. It's the offense that needs tons of work. While quarterback Brian Reeder has struggled, Idaho coach Rob Akey has indicated his starting job is not yet in danger. But Reeder must improve as he completes just over 50% of his passes and has thrown only two more touchdowns than interceptions. While Idaho is pass first, the run game needs to work better to keep defenses honest. Unfortunately, Hawaii sports a top 20 run defense. Hawaii's production on the road has been limited. An offense that averages 443 yards per game averaged just 374 yards in the three road losses. What's worse is the Warriors are averaging four turnovers a game in those road losses. At home, they average just one turnover a game. To start winning on the road, quarterback Bryant Moniz must lead Hawaii in taking care of the ball. The one time they did so on the road this year was at Louisiana Tech, where the Warriors did not commit a single turnover and subsequently won going away 44-26. Moniz and his talented core of receivers in Royce Pollard, Billy Ray Slutzman, and the rest of the crew have proven they can win almost any game, but only if they take care of the ball. And that'll do it for today's newscast. Today's featured artist has been The Misfits with tracks off of their newest record, The Devil's Reign. Now, for the final track of the day, here is Curse of the Mummy's Hand. For KUOI News, I'm Anthony Saya.
Bye. day. Father, providing, turning desert to grain. God's Son, the Pharaoh, speaks to rock, calling his name. Oh, rock, devour those who dare open my grave. Place your curse in his hand, the mummy's hand, the mummy's hand. My tomb, so mighty, for the world as time slips away. These hunts for bounty, through the stone they search for a way. Treasure inviting to my lair where hell awaits. Rotting this body steals the souls of those who betray. Place your curse in his hand, the mummy's hand, the mummy's hand. Darkness today. Oh, rock, devour those who dare open my grave. Place your curse in his hand, the mummy's hand, the mummy's hand. The mummy's hand, the mummy's
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.